The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure, high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online, on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
The company, the organizations that are having a difficult time now or during the pandemic is because they didn't have their stuff together, you know, and not to pull salt on the wound or anything like that. But, you know, I'm a lot of small businesses, their focus on just bringing in revenue, right? Let's just focus on marketing your business, bringing in revenue. And then, you know, once you have the revenue, then you hire the professionals and that so forth to get your ducks in row. But you need
to keep books and records from the beginning.
I know a lot of businesses there, you know, they had their pants down, you know, they just, you know, and the other thing is, you know, just having, you know, the information matches, you know, the same name that's on your tax return, it's right on your business license, it's, you know, with the Secretary of State, you know, just stuff that, you know, you as an attorney and, you know, me finance guy,
you don't think about it.
Our clients do, but, you know, as a business owner, you know, you just running and gunning, but, you know, a lot of these PPP loans are solely done online that, you know, there's not someone that's, you know, just looking at your documentation that can, make that determination on things. Max, it's the computer system is just saying yes or no. And if it's no, because earlier along, there was so much fraud and that kind of stuff going on with people who knew the game and were trying to, you know, Trump on the game, they were getting money. So like part of that organization I was telling you about earlier, you know, we had a conference at the beginning of the year, towards the first quarter of the year. And we were just talking about how much fraud and how to look out for that. You know, when you're lending to institutions, they one example is one guy had 14 PPP loans with one.
What do you mean? There's only been two rounds. How could he get 14?
14. He was just gaming the system.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
We help entrepreneurs, real estate investors, and business owners get access to capital in the shortest period of time with minimum efforts and maximum profits. Hi, my name is Dominic Wallace, the managing director of Wallace Capital Funding.
All right, Dominic, are you here?
I am here.
Okay, all right. I know we I've been on your podcast and now you're coming on mine. I had to put you off. It was my 23rd wedding anniversary. I surprised my wife, took her out of town on Friday, so I bumped you till today. So I appreciate you adjusting your schedule last minute. I hope it wasn't too inconvenient.
Yeah, no, no, I appreciate that. Hey, yeah. Go to the wedding.
Good. So good. So I want to talk today about, you know, business owners, access to capital, what small business owners should do to get money, maybe to improve their things, but their credit and all that type of stuff. But maybe we want to go back a little bit and we'll talk about your background, where you're from originally, how you got into lending and finance and all that stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, certainly. Okay. Certainly. Like one of the, I went to University of Virginia way back in the day.
Charlottesville.
We talked about that before.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, I had a track and field scholarship, but if you can imagine, in men's sports, because of Title IX, you know, the men's have football, which is like 85. Right.
Title IX really benefits the women.
Yeah, it benefits the women. It's like, so our program, because of football, wasn't fully funded. So during the summers, you know, I would be out hustling, trying to get some, you know, some more cash and had work study job. But right. And what I did was I was painting. Now, I wasn't a Picasso or anything, but I would be painting, painting apartments, you know, to kind of get those things turned over.
Right.
And one of the things that I had.
It was like your own business or you're working for a guy?
Well, so I was working for a guy. And then the short story. So then when I had an opportunity to go back to North Virginia, I was, you know, coaching. And then during the summers, I said, well, let me paint again. So I had my little painting business. Now, like most people who has a small business, what do you want to do? You want to grow it, right? You want to make it bigger.
Right.
And so I was doing, you know, like houses and Turner houses, which was good. But I was just like trying to figure out how can I get that bigger? Well, I guess I have to go after bigger projects instead of doing a house. Maybe I'll do a building.
Yeah. Or you need people working for you too. Right. You can't only paint so much yourself.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I had a small crew.
Okay.
But you know, the guys, you know, they won their beer money on Friday and that kind of stuff.
Of course. But, so that's why they're all in the company. That's the whole thing.
But so just to transition to how they got in finance. So what I was like, so, you know, I wanted to grow it. So I was like, how do I grow this thing? So what the first thing I would do, I was in Washington, D.C. area. They have all the properties either owned or managed by some large corporation or some government agency because it's near DC, right?
Right, right.
And so first thing I would do, I would talk to the owner, which be those corporations and government agencies. And right. Then they would say, well, hey, we don't make that decision on painting. You need to talk to the property management company. So then I talk to the property management company and then they say, well, you're too small. You need to talk to the general contractor. So we got all these this level.
Yeah.
Now, what was the first question that I asked the GC? What do you think was
the GC?
Question? Yeah, general contractor. What do you think was the first question to ask?
Who you using for painting?
Well, besides that, but my first question was, how do you get paid?
That's right. What because I if it's going to be, yeah, well, seriously, if it's going to be 90 days for them to pay you.
There you go.
You guys with the brushes aren't going to wait 90 days to pay the bills.
No, not my guys. You know, I pay them. So, you know, typically, like if I go paint your house, you like the job that I did, you know, you cut me a check right there, right?
Yeah. Well, I might have even given you half up front, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but that's not how the commercial
works. No, not work. In subcontracting work, right?
you have to wait.
You're so down the line.
What the GC told me, like you said, we'll pay you when we get paid.
He doesn't have the money.
Right. I was like, that was crazy. I'm like, you guys are the one with all the money, man. And then they said, well, check this out. If you send this invoice in, this piece of paper, by the 20th of the month, we'll pay you 30 days after that. And I was just like, oh man, this is crazy. So how am I going to manage?
So that's a 60-day run at least, right?
Yeah. How am I going to manage this cash flow. You know, I got to pay my guys. You know, I, like you said, if I told my guys, can you guys wait until I get paid? They laugh at me.
They go get another job.
Get another job.
Yeah.
So I'm scrambling, trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. Unfortunately, the bank was available to me. And so I met this guy. He was part of what's called a factor, a finance company. And basically what they do is they provide as many, you can provide these invoices.
Right.
They can give you access to cash. And I thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, it's like a letter of credit, right? You had the orders, you had the business, money, they're just financing for you. Right.
So I was telling it back then. I told all my buddies about it because, you know, this is the first thing I've heard of something like this.
Now, you're just out of college at this point?
Well, I had did some grad school there, too.
Okay. So, but you're still young.
But you're a fairly young guy. Yeah. And okay. So, you know, going to the bank and showing all this credit, and all, you know, that just wasn't available to me.
Right.
So I went to them and they said, well, yeah, we know that your customers are going to pay. They're just going to pay slow. So we'll you know, give you the cash for that. And instead of you having to wait. And I thought that was the greatest thing. And I told all my buddies about it. And all my buddies, I was making those connections. And what was happening was the finance company paid me a referral fee for those connections. And check this out. I was making more money with those referral fees than I was in my contract.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Like, I was like, man, I need to go. There's something to this.
You didn't even realize that you would get a referral fee. You just started like telling
them. Yeah, I'm just like, hey, you know,
it's a good thing, right?
It's a good thing. Yeah. I'm just like, okay.
That's a good story. Okay.
I was like, well, let me legitimize this. So I was doing some research.
I need to paint houses. Like I can make more money just doing this.
Yeah. Let me do this. Now, you know, obviously, you know, in college, you know, you take your basic accounting classes, economics, maybe some finance.
You're not even sure why you're in half the classes.
Yeah.
I remember economics. I asked my professor, I said, how does this like apply in the business world? Oh, this doesn't apply to the real world. This is all theoretical.
No.
So why the hell are we learning it?
Bottom line. I mean, you know the drill. I mean, we've probably learned more on the job.
Oh, much more.
Maybe in a week than we probably ever learned in a semester or a year of college.
Right. Well, you get 4 years in college. What do you work? 40, 50 years in life? Yeah. Soon after college, you realize that you learn very little. College is like a thinking exercise. Teach you how to think. That's about it.
Teach you how to think. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I will definitely say, you know, it helped me learn. Trying to figure out this finance business, I'm like, let me legitimize this. So I found this guy who had this program. He was teaching people how to be what's called a business financial consultant, which basically he owned a bank. And, you know, he had this program to tell you how to figure out these ratios and all this kind of stuff. And more importantly, connecting you with other financial institutions out there. And so I thought, you know, I was like, well, yeah, I can legitimize this and you know, help other guys like me who are trying to figure out how to get financing where I could do it. But here's the cool thing. And because you work with small businesses too, the greatest thing in working with a small business. So in painting, you know, I employed some people, which was cool. But when you finance a business and a business owner, not only are you financing his or her family, but all the families associated with that's employed by the business.
Yeah.
And the community. Cause check this out. Who's hitting up the small business owner for like T-ball t-shirts.
Yeah,
right?
It's all the community sponsorships and sure.
All that. So like when you're helping a small business owner, you're truly helping the community. So I was like, that's what I'd rather do than, you know.
Sure. Well, it's a good thing all your buddies didn't want to do that too. They need to be customers, right? Yeah, you need customers. But you know, it's true, Dominic, because the health of our economy is directly related to the flow of money and the speed in which it changes hands. And as soon as it gets tightened up, everybody starts feeling it because now I'm not paying you quickly because I don't think the guy behind me is going to pay me that quickly. And I got to make sure my family needs this or they medical bills or whatever. And everything slows down. And that's what happened with the pandemic. And then the government said, well, we better get money out there. And they, you know, that economic principle does work. Velocity of money. If money's changing hands quickly, things are really, really cooking and they're good. But yeah, I think it's in the lending business. A lot of people don't realize, I guess you didn't realize that there was this alternative world of availability of money, right?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, obviously since then we've been in business, you know, 19 years, it'll be 20 years come next year. So, you know, since then, you know, from just kind of brokering and putting deals together, you know, we've since then become a finance company, you know, but
you do your own lending, you have warehouse lines and things like that.
And all
you
that sell kind it of off. Stuff.
Right. Of course. Well, you know, you grew like you planned on, you didn't just keep brokering.
Yeah. If you allow me to, I'll share the screen for those who are able to see just
sure.
to kind of legitimize
for that. We are, yeah. Okay, you can share.
So for those that are not able to see the screen, go to S as in Sam, V as in Bravo, F as in Foxtrot, E as in Echo, .org. Okay. And then when you go to the screen, scroll all the way down to the bottom of the screen. And you'll see a few of our SBFE members. You got American Express is on the screen, Bank of America, Capital One, probably the most marketed finance company in the world, Wells Fargo. And then you see this little eagle thing with Wallace Kebbel Funding. So that's our institution. And I show that to you because, you know, we've come a long way.
Yeah. Right. But all those banks, they don't want to lend always to guys like us, to the small business owners, you know?
Yeah. So like most recent. So similar to I had a lady, she had an engineering and architecture firm, and her situation is similar to mine. She does the designs like the bus depots and that kind of stuff. So like if you're out, you know, waiting on the bus so you won't get rained on. And yeah. So she, her problem was, she was like, help, 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 Dominic. And I was like, what, what? And she's like, well, you know, the city, and she-
Yeah, that's all city prep, right? City. The city's hiring her to do those things.
Yeah, so she worked for the city and she also worked for the state too. In this case, it was the city. And she's like, hey, you know, normally I get paid 10 days on this invoice, but now it's taking 30, 45, 60 days to get paid. Yeah. Can you help me out? The funny thing is, I think there was the mayor was kind of changing the departments. You know, a lot of times when you work with these government agencies, you got the accounts payable office
right.
that actually sends you the check. And then you got a separate department that you actually work for. In her case, the engineering department.
Right, because she gets the invoice and gets submitted to the payroll, the billing department. Then they pay the thing, yeah.
In this case, it was seven. We counted it. We went through to try to figure out why it was taking so long. There was seven different people that had to sign off on that one freaking invoice, man.
It's government bureaucracy.
And I was crazy. It was just crazy. And we finally got it down to three, but
after working with them. So that's a lot of PO findings, right? You're just finding a lot of purchase orders and stuff like that.
Yeah, we can do that, you know, like money advance for contract opportunity too. But, you know, it's obvious from a finance standpoint, it's easier to fund, you know, that actually asset that's you just money that you've been owed to you. But yeah, so we,
well, of course,
so we advanced her, but more importantly, like I was showing on that screen, we report to, as a finance institution, we report to the Small Business Financial Exchange. And then they report to the credit bureaus like Dun & Bradstreet, Equifax, Experian, and LexisNexis. And then what happened was, and you know, you work with small businesses. We probably had this conversation before. But a lot of times, you know, sometimes mainly because we're just so focused, you know, business owners sometimes have tunnel vision trying to get something accomplished or just can't see so far, and not, you know, not in any bad way or anything, but it's just the state of affairs. What we were able to also work with her to kind of make sure that her company was a lot more profitable because we saw some things that kind of reduce her costs and kind of improve
right.
her
plus that opens improves her credit, right? Because it's getting reported and then it improves her whole profile.
Yeah. So not only are we getting her money, but we're also consulting with her to help her improve her profitability. So the bank, what happened, the funny thing is the bank saw all this cash going through her account. They were able to see the credit history that we were reporting on. Then they looked at her financials, which was looking a lot better. And then they finally gave her the money initially that she was looking for in the first place.
Yeah, because they don't want any risk.
Yeah. And I was like, and it was fine on us because, you know, we knew we were, you know, a lot of times we were transitioning to, you know, the client and, you know, giving them money for a certain.
Yeah, because you're taking more risk. So your money's probably more expensive, right? I mean, yeah, you know, that's the only thing you can do.
Yeah. So, we were helping her. And that was awesome. I mean, we had some. Probably our best program is we have an SBA loan product, and we were doing a lot of PPP loans and all that kind of stuff. But like our best SBA products, like a hundred unsecured up to 150,000, 10-year term, 2.75%. So it's over prime,
right?
Over prime. So it's about 5-6% interest.
Yeah.
And then a lot of startups like that come to me, I try to put them in that program and stuff. But I try to put them in the best program, even if it's not the money from our institution, you know, which you try to put them in whatever is going to be best.
Right. For them. You don't want to turn them away if you don't have the product. You find them, help them because they'll come back someday.
As smaller, you know, organizations, I mean, we're not like big bank or, you know, financial institutions. So, you know, we're based on referrals, you know, that's how we build our business.
You know, people walking in your lobby.
Yeah. We don't have their checking account or nothing like that.
And Dominic, where are you located?
So we have an office in Birmingham, Alabama, but also, you know, we have a small presence in the Washington, D.C. area and other parts of the country, too.
So going back, so you were like in your mid to late 20s and you never turned back. You went into finance and you've been doing it ever since.
Yeah, man. Just, you know, it's all, you know, but in business, it's all about figuring out.
Did anybody take over the painting business?
No, I just
died on the vine.
I just folded that.
Finish up the jobs and that was it.
Yeah, that was it. It wasn't hard for the guys to find another job.
I mean, you know, but you didn't want to be blue collar all your life. You wanted to wear a suit.
Yeah, I mean, it was hot.
This was in Alabama or this is in Charlotte?
No, this was in Virginia.
Well, still, Virginia's not, you know, like North Pole.
I even have a story. I remember one time I didn't have enough guys. And then, you know, at the time I was like, I convinced my dad to come out and help me. That was how shorthanded I was on one project.
Now, did you experience like, you know, Charlottesville is not the place I would think of for like a black guy like you from Alabama or a Jewish guy like me from New Jersey. I would think, right? Was there racism and stuff there and bigotry then?
Yeah,
not as much because you see all these skinheads and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know, for people most recent, there was a big thing in Charlottesville.
Yeah, I mean, it was all over the news. Protesting Jewish people and black people. And like, holy shit. My daughter's like, I don't want to go there. I'm like, you're not going there. You know, luckily it's hard to get in.
It's very hard to get in. I probably couldn't get in now.
Right. Well, you know, so I was just wondering what you experienced then, and you think it'd be the opposite now.
I mean, there's just a lot of stereotype. I mean, like even my roommate, you know, just some tendencies that you just had to explain, you know, that, you know, you just, you know, from coming from a private boarding school with just a bunch of white guys.
Look, I went to Cornell in upstate New York and I met people from, you know, white kids from Missouri and Mississippi, even they're looking at my head to see where my horns were. I mean, they had no clue, you know? So I was just wondering what you experienced.
Yeah. It's interesting sometimes being the only one of your kind in the room sometimes. But I'm used to it now. I'm used to it now.
Well, the world's a different place, but that's another episode we could talk about. Call a round table. But so, okay, so let's talk more about financing. So, you know, we get a lot of small business owners and they don't really know what to do. And sometimes they can't borrow money or they don't have the kind of business where they have purchase orders and orders coming through. What do they do for, what other alternative, you know, ways are there for capital? A lot of people aren't so familiar with the SBA programs and stuff like that. So maybe we're going to talk about that stuff.
Yeah. So like there's a lot of programs available for startup businesses and so forth. Now I will say, you know, because similar to like FHA is for mortgages,
right?
They back mortgages. The SBA was put in place to support, you know, small businesses. So it's kind of like a stopgap or insurance policy. But I'll
tell
people,
to get the banks to lend to these businesses that they wouldn't lend to before because of the risk.
I mean, because you talk to most banks, they're not going to talk to you unless you've been in business for at least 2 to 3 years. It just won't. They won't even talk to you. So there's a lot of programs that I help small businesses in to get. I mean, I think I told you the story where I helped did a skating rink one time, you know, startup.
And it was a startup?
Yeah, it was a startup. We have financed the building.
Right, but there's real estate involved, so it's a little bit easier, right? You have equipment and hard land.
Yeah, I mean, it helps. Yeah, I mean, I've done funeral home. You know, obviously the joke is, you know, everybody's dying to get in that business. And
well, funeral homes are a good business. I got guys that are like embarrassed from the pandemic. It was like printing money for them.
Yes, they unfortunately did well.
They unfortunately did really well. Yeah.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000, that's LAW to 21000, to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
But but as a small business owner, as a younger professional, your credit's important. You really got to kind of learn how to protect your credit rating and you know, do the right things to make your business seem profitable and all that kind of stuff. Because if you're just a derelict and you're 20 and you're just having a great time, then you turn around in your 30s, you want to get financing, it may be hard.
Well, So here is the lesson from the pandemic. So a lot of businesses that were trying to get financing. So when the PPP loans first came out, the individuals or the type of businesses that got the money first were either the big institution, big companies that had, you know, had the good attorneys, accountants, CPAs, or the professional CPAs and attorneys and that knew where to get the money. They had all their documentation in place. They had all their ducks in row, and they were able to get access to those funds. The,
right.
The company, the organizations that are having a difficult time now or during the pandemic is because they didn't have their stuff together, you know, and you know, and not to pull salt on the wound or anything like that. But, you know, I'm a lot of small businesses, their focus on just bringing in revenue, right?
Right.
Let's just focus on marketing your business, bringing in revenue. And then, you know, once you have the revenue, then you hire the professionals and that so forth to get your ducks in a row. But so,
no, but you know, you need to keep books and records from the beginning.
I know a lot of businesses there, you know, they had their pants down, you know, they just, you know, and the other thing is, you know, just having, you know, the information matches, you know, the same name that's on your tax return. It's
right.
On your business license. It's, you know, with the Secretary of State, you know, just stuff that, you know, you as an attorney and, you know, me finance guy,
yeah, you
know,
don't think
try to have
it.
Our clients do, but, you know, as a business owner, you know, you just running and gunning, but, you know, a lot of these PPP loans are solely done on online that, you know, there's not someone that's, you know, just looking at your documentation that can,
yeah,
it can make that determination on things. Max, it's the computer system is just saying yes or no. And if it's no, because earlier along, there was so much fraud and that kind of stuff going on with people who knew the game and were trying to, you know, trump on the game, they were getting money. So like part of that organization I was telling you about earlier, you know, we had a conference at the beginning of the year, towards the first quarter of the year, and we were just talking about how much fraud and how to look out for that. You know,
yeah.
When you lend it to institutions, they one example is one guy had 14 PPP loans with one.
What do you mean? There's only been two rounds. How could he get 14?
14. He was just gaming the system, man.
Yeah, so I know a guy who's got a company. They do a lot of government fraud investigation. He told me there was like $70 billion in fraud or something that they were investigating. It was crazy.
It was really easy.
People see free money and they're like, oh, I'm going to get as much as I can. How are they going to find me?
I'll just say it like that. If you have any intention of getting in that world, you're just going to be a world of hurt coming down on you, because eventually they're going to find out.
Of course. Maybe only an idiot thinks they do this stuff. They're not going to figure it out. I had to go online too. Well, I didn't know you then, but I my bank wasn't lending to sole proprietors, sole practitioners. Right. So I couldn't go to them at the beginning. So I had borrowed money years ago from Cabbage. Mm-hmm. And a buddy of mine had hooked me up with them, and they actually did a good job. But you're right. They asked me for specific things. I uploaded this. They're like, well, this doesn't match to this. I'm like, oh, I fixed that and this and that. And yeah, if it doesn't check the box, they're like, I don't know what to tell you. It's not our money, you know?
And especially now, as the round is going towards, especially the second round, if your stuff is not together, because there's so many applications that be processed at one,
right?
They're just not going to take time on it. You know,
right.
that's the lesson that, you know, you truly have to have your ducks in a row.
Yeah.
You
know? I didn't think I had such good documentation. I don't know. They're like, here's your money. Hit my account. I'm like, okay. Now I got to give them the other paperwork to get it forgiven, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so people don't realize until the most recent administration kind of changed the rules. You know, they were given opportunities for people who had losses on their, you know, their Schedule C to actually get funds. But, you know, that was kind of really late in the game.
It was supposed to be what, 2.5 times your gross revenue, right?
Two and a half.
So if it's negative, that's going to be a zero.
Then a zero. So
right.
So that's why people were having a hard time getting money. And they would, you know, there was
because business owners run their business so they don't pay tax. They don't run profitable.
Right. And that hurt. Now, for a traditional business loan, that hurts you. You probably want to seek a good CPA to, you know, figure out how to depreciate stuff and that kind of stuff. So because, you know, from a finance standpoint, there's
that
certain things that I can
in.
Add back in
right.
to get you financing. But if you just say, hey, I'm just not going to show any profits, what would I have to go on to show that you can pay back the note?
It's not going to work. Yeah, exactly. We're going to go, oh, that guy, he picked the quarters up out of the machines on Saturday from the laundromat. You're like, well, that doesn't help me. Yeah, it's you know, you can't live under the radar and then expect to participate in the system.
And I mean, and there's ways to kind of, you know, from a traditional, we'll talk about traditional finance, there's ways to kind of mitigate opportunities for finance. We talked about purchase order and contracts. And so like the local economic development organization sent me this company that was for Germany that's trying to do business here. And they're trying to get like $15 million in equipment, you know, like those 3D printers, and it's kind of crazy. So the funny thing is when they sent the financials, they were in Germany. So they were in German. They were in German. So I'm trying to figure out. I'm using like, was it Google
Translate?
Translator to kind of figure some of the stuff out.
What do they think? They're applying for, it's like if you and Guy open a business in Japan, we would go to a Japanese bank, give them everything in English. I guess we're so, English is so pervasive. Maybe it would work that way. It doesn't work the other way.
Yeah, yeah. But what I was saying is sometimes, like if the financials, you know, because, you know, you have to be able to show, obviously, that you have the ability to pay it back. But like, but the one of the reasons they're coming here, because they're going to be doing business with another company in their supply chain. And so, you know, I'm trying to get, you know, the contracts, agreements and that kind of thing to show, well, with this, he put this equipment to work, you know, they're going to be, you know, paying back. Or the other company is going to pay them a certain amount of revenue to be able to pay for this machine. And so there's other ways to kind of, you know, mitigate.
Be creative about it.
If you're like a startup or you're trying to ask for funds, you don't have all the documentation, you know.
Right. Well, look, I have guys buying businesses. The bank's like, well, we'd like to see your business plan. He's like, what do they need to say business plan for? I said, because they have no idea whether you can actually pull this off or not. If you can't put it on paper, they're going to have no faith in you and your ability to pull this off. It's part of what they're lending.
Well, I remember working with this one, they were a contracting company. So one of the things that they did was, you know, with the power poles, you know, where you can, they had this machine where you would look and determine if there's any breaks in the wires to see what would, you know, if the wires were break, it was a break, obviously the power company couldn't make any money. Right. And so, so that was one profit center in their business, but what they were trying to look at is how can they make additional revenue in their business? So what we were looking at, the power companies have was, you know, their engineers had to get CEUs, right? And so they would do the inspections on these, you know, for the power. But also they would do classes. They said, well, let's make classes for the CEUs to show them how we do our inspections. You know, that way they use that as a lead magnet for other companies that they're not already working with and providing the inspection services with. And so just kind of working. So a lot of times you can just look at other profit centers to show, like maybe if you're buying a company, because that in that instance where we're making an acquisition and we're trying to show where there were other revenues or profit centers, how this business, they can improve this business to pay for that loan.
Right.
And so, so you know, just as a small business, always look at other ways, other profit centers that kind of align with what you're already doing, that you can make more money.
Right. Well, there should be a reason you're buying the business. Got to complement what you're doing, or you have some expertise and some access to a market that they don't have access to, or, you know, something like that. Or maybe the guy's just old. Maybe he's 80 years old and he's like, you know, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
92.
I mean, there's a lot of opportunities right now to make some acquisitions. Just people, you know, just are tired.
Yeah. Right. They're tired, or they're thinking about it maybe 5 to 7 years, and then the pandemic hit and they're like, forget this. I'm not going back to doing this. And they're retiring early, you know, moving out of the cities.
Now, a lot of the baby boomers, you know, are in between what, 80 and 60 some years old now. So,
yeah,
you know, so a lot of those opportunities, maybe make some acquisitions.
Yeah. You got to be careful because a lot of business owners I deal with, you know, they haven't been running their business with the intention of necessarily. I mean, they want to sell it. Yeah. They want to get out, but they're not running it that way from a book standpoint. And then when the guy comes in and you're lending to the guy who's buying the business and you're asking for X, Y, and Z, and he's asking the owner for these reports, and the owner gives you crap, terrible reporting. And so the buyer's trying to figure out, you're trying to figure out, help the buyer. And sometimes it's a real risk because the guy has bad records. And he's like, oh, it's a great business. We make a lot of money. You're like, what? You know, just because it supported his lifestyle doesn't mean it's a profitable business. So, you got to be, I tell a lot of business owners that way. If you want to sell this business, you want to exit out in 15 years, start running it like you're going to sell it tomorrow. And, you know, keep good books and records so somebody who can come in, that increases the value of your business if you have good records, you know?
Well, one thing I wanted to say before I forget, because actually Mitch and I, he graciously, you know, talked earlier that I had the opportunity to interview him. So we're having the Keys for Business Summit, Keys for Business Summit, Money, Marketing, and Profitability. And soon you'll be able to go to keysforbusiness.com or keysforbusinesssummit.com. Okay. And you'll be able to hear Mitch as well as myself, but 20 other dynamic entrepreneurs and so forth to hear, you know, in all stages of business, from the exit to the beginning, you know, awesome people that could give you knowledge that could help you in your business.
Yeah, that's why I was excited to come on your show and have you talk because, look, you know, a lot of guys that are in the financing business, they're brokering business, whatever they're doing, but you're putting out content, you're providing value to people and bringing people together. And you recognize, just like I do, that if you just keep educating people and you just keep putting out good content, sharing information and helping them, at some point, not all those people will be my client. Not all those people will be your customers, but they will do business with you. They will tell other people about it. It's kind of like what happened with you, right? You went, you found this guy who could finance your painting business. He didn't tell you he was going to give you a referral fee. You just told everybody, he said, this is great. He's helping me grow the business. And next thing you know, you're getting this money. You go, wait, I could do this. And it just kind of happened. You're the accidental entrepreneur right there. You know, just because you're excited about what he was doing. And it's ironic, but it's not ironic, really.
Well, no, I mean, it's just being, you know, just being a servant, you know, just trying to serve, you know, other humanity, trying to, you know, just trying to help people.
Yeah, wasn't it Zig Ziglar? He's dead now, but you help enough people get what they want and they'll help you get what you want.
That's the truth.
It's not a funny statement. It's just the truth. And I get a lot of business through the podcast, but it's taken me a long time of just keeping out regular content and posting stuff and showing up on your show and showing up on other shows. And then they come on my show and we're posting content, like you said, doing the summit and things like that. And people, they just start thinking you more than they're thinking other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is awesome. I mean, just you really, you know, sewing into the entrepreneur, the business owner, you know, making sure that they have what they need and, you know, and what could truly help them and so forth.
Yeah.
And we learn from interviewing people and talking to other people, we learn a lot too, because, you know, everyone has a different perspective of business, and you know, from a different tweak or viewpoint, you could be like, oh, okay. Or it's just an easier way to explain things sometimes, you know, to try to help people.
So if there's people out there and they're small business owners, and they're looking to borrow money or they're not sure how to finance their business, they should connect with you and you'll help them or get them ready to borrow money or figure out what they got to fix or clean up and what products are out there. And it's a good place to start. Right. So what's the best way to connect with you, Dominic?
So you can WallaceCapitalFunding.com.
There you go.
There it is.
We'll put a link in the show notes.
Call us. Yeah. You can just give us a call at 800-809-5629 or you can just go to the summit too, you know, go to keysforbusiness.com, you know, like that's kind of where I'm just kind of sewing to people, you know, giving people information and just really helping them out. You know, just
and you're also on LinkedIn if people want to connect with you.
Oh, yeah.
Facebook, the whole thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Now, the craziest thing on LinkedIn is they only give you 30,000 connections. So if you try to connect with me, I kind of go back and forth. Yeah. I kind of go back and forth. So I
that's
have to
a delete, lot. Well, can you get that in? Well, can they? Will they increase it if you ask them, or that's the max?
I've tried. I've sent email messages. I guess I have to buy some other level. I guess I don't know, but to be honest with you, I probably need to purge a lot of that list now. I truly don't add anybody unless I at least have a conversation with that person. Right now.
Yeah, I get LinkedIn requests all the time. I'm like, if I don't see, I know, like they know you or you. I was talking to Dominic. I'm like, who? Oh, I was looking at your pro. I think you're. We should connect. I'm like, you juggle flaming arrows. What would I? And you know, and you're in Washington State, and I'm in New Jersey. I don't just LinkedIn to anybody. You know? Right? It's the craziest things.
Yeah, but no, it's funny. I'll go to some networking events, and you know, obviously most of them online right now. Yeah. And then and then try to connect, and then I'll be like, well, yeah, hold on a sec, give me a week or two, and let me delete a few people.
Right? Yeah, they want to link into you. That's pretty funny. So no, yeah. But I do. I get a lot of finance guys online. They want to connect, and maybe we do. But I don't know. I need more finance guys. For it. Oh, who can you lend to? We can lend to anybody. I go, well, then I'll never think of you. Right?
Yeah, just everybody.
Right. That's not good. You got to like pick a way you do business, how you help people, what your expertise is, you know?
Yeah.
Can't be everything to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. No, that's not fun either.
No. And you make more money the other way, being focused and strategic.
Yeah. No, no. When I first got started, you know, I was just solely on that account receivable finance side.
That's where you started.
And solely on there. And then I went to the SBA, local SBA, because, you know, you want to be connected with the business community. You go to the SBA. And so I told them about what I was doing. And they said, well, you need to meet bankers. And I said, well, yeah, duh, I want to be bankers. Because I know that they can't do everything, right?
Right.
They'll refer me. So. They said, guess what? We got this program called the 7A pre-qual program. And then the government has names for all strange stuff, right? And so I was like, well, what is that? Well, what it is, it's a certain SBA loan product, but the pre-qual program is actually packaging these SBA loans. Because back in that day, it's not all centralized and all that stuff online as it was before. You had to actually get the pre-approval on the SBA loan number from the actual office,
the local office,
and then they'll stamp it and then they'll send it back to the financial institution. And so they said, well, what you can do is you can learn how to be the packager of the SBA loans. And because there a lot of these banks, the smaller banks, they don't have the SBA departments like some of these bigger banks, you can help them out. And then you start learning some of the bankers. So I did that. And that was begrudgingly, I didn't want to do that because, like you say, you want to specialize in one thing. But I mean, it was a really mixed blessing because it helped me learn, you know, I already knew the alternative financial world and then the traditional world. So it really helps me when I look at a business owner to really look at them from both angles and say, or if we do X, Y, Z, then I can get you to this transitional thing that you're trying to do. Here's where we are now. And here's where we're trying to be.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of bankers. Unfortunately, they're like, no, we can't do it. You didn't qualify. They don't tell you where to go or what to do or good luck.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, I remember this one lady, I was just, you know, she was surprised. She called me, asked this question. It's like, hey, you know, I need some money. And she, you know, I was just like, it was some deal that she was trying to work on, some overseas deal or something like that. And I was just like, well, and she's like, she needs the money up front from her distributor or something like that. And I was like, all you need to do is ask that customer to give you a letter of credit.
Right.
Once you have that letter of credit, then you take that to your bank as collateral and then get the funds. And you didn't even need me for that. And she is off the rate. So, you know, if it's something easy, you call me, you know, like that, you know, I'm not going to try to trick you into something that you don't need.
But you know what? She appreciates that. And there's even somebody else she's talking to who's got more problems. Listen, I don't know what to do, but Dominic does it. Call Dominic, and then you're your customer. That, look, always doing the right thing for people, I think, always benefits you and benefits them and comes back to you in spades. When you do the wrong thing, eventually people figure it out.
Yeah, they figure it out.
Yeah, and of course. I see nowadays, you can't figure, you know, it's not like Tin Men when they used to sell the siding and go to people's houses and rip them off. You know, and now you can check everything online.
You check everybody out. Yeah exactly. I mean, it's easy to find out
none of that stuff. All right. Well, Dominic, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for spending time with me on the show. We'll put the link to the summit and to your website and to the organization that you're part of. And so I appreciate it. So thanks so much for spending time with me.
All right. Thanks, Mitch.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.